Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Joining us right now is our pal Mike Rizzo, President, General Manager of your Washington Nationals, presented by FH Fur, FH Fur Plumbing, Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical, the official plumbing partner of the Washington Nationals. Absolutely the best. Good morning, Mike.
Mike, oh, I didn't punch him up. My bad. Mike, are you there? Hey, buddy.
Hey, I'm here. Good morning, guys.
Hey, I'm curious, on an average night, how much sleep does Mike Rizzo get
during the season?
I try to get 8 hours of sleep. I really do.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
Sure.
God.
You and I are a lot alike, my friend.
Jason's able to.
You guys have to get up, I would imagine, like at 5 or in the morning or something, don't you?
4:30. Yeah.
I get up at 4:15.
Yeah.
Believe me, it's a terrible life.
I'm so jealous. I'm jealous of a lot of things that Mike Rizzo has.
You know what that means?
But 8 hours might be at the top of the list.
That means Mike is waking up at like now. Because he goes to bed late, right? Because you got to be wired after a game.
He probably goes to bed no earlier than midnight.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, probably midnight to 8 o'clock or something like that. I usually get in during the season, I get in the office at 9:30 or so.
That's not bad.
And we work all day. We have a game that night. By the time you're out of the clubhouse, you're home at midnight. Yeah,
but this is right? But this is also a busier time.
That's why I was setting it up. Is like, yeah. How much?
This is a different. You guys. I thought the question was on a normal game day or something like that. Yeah, it's less sleep. You know, these are exciting times, man. You know, trade deadline, draft days. Draft prep. This is what it's all about. I'm excited to attack this trade deadline. It's not the attack mode I want to be in. I like to be aggressive. I like to be buying. I like to be putting final pieces of the puzzle into winning a world championship. But this is as important. You know, we have to get our ducks in order. We have to make good, intelligent trades and deals to retool this thing to get back in the hunt and win some more championships. That's our goal.
You know, obviously, Mike, I mean, you guys were on fire in June, right? I think Jason said best record in baseball.
Best record in the National League.
And then, you know, Schwarber got hurt and Strauss has been having issues and, you know, all this stuff. And then so then July just really turned into a nightmare. And so you're in a position where we all know you don't want to be, but on some level, are you somewhat thankful that, I mean, the decision has sort of been made for you, right? Like, you don't have, this is not dicey at this point. Like, you know, you're going to try to do what you can to better the team for the future because it doesn't look like a run this year is realistically in the cards.
You don't have to be Casey Stengel to figure that out. Yes,
right.
We're not playing well enough to go out and acquire players to help us in the short term for this run. We have to look at this thing on a global level and see where we're at as an organization, where we have to improve to be the consistent winner that we've always been. And, that's our job and that's our goal. And, you know, let's not forget, you know, when we came into this thing, we were winning 59 games a year, and since 2009, we won more games than anybody in baseball except for the Dodgers and maybe the Yankees. So we know how to do this thing. We know how to retool on the fly. We always want to be competitive. Our ownership is very, very competitive. They give us the resources to do really good things, and we're going to make good prudent deals to the deadline and improve our organization, our ball club. And our goal is to win now. It always has been, and it always will be. But also with an eye on the future to have a to build a sustainable winner. And there's no shame in taking a step back and after a decade of winning competitive baseball, is winning more than any other team in the league, except for a couple of teams, and winning world championships and division titles and wild card wins and all that stuff. There's no shame in taking a step back and retooling this thing and with our view to win next year and years beyond.
No doubt. This is unfamiliar territory for you, Mike, and I think you're the best GM in baseball. Here's a direct question for you, and I don't know if you can answer it, but is there anybody on this roster that's untradeable?
I mean, if I were to say that, there's the politically correct answer, and then there's the right answer. There's nobody that's untradeable. There's players that I wouldn't think about trading. But if someone came to me with some kind of idea for a Juan Soto, which is as untradeable guy as you can get in the game,
right?
Young, star, controllable, superstar. If someone came with a deal that didn't make sense to them and made a lot of sense to me, you'd have to consider it. If you didn't, it's malpractice. You're not doing your job. But there's guys that you're not going to trade and you don't want to trade.
Right.
But if you can never say never. It's very, very unlikely on a handful of players. But not you can't say never on anybody.
All right. So I don't know what you can tell us. If you got no comment, that's fine. But when I heard that the Trey Turner was available, I was a little surprised because I love Trey. I know you do too. I know his contract situation is a little bit different because he's closer to his UFA. But I just think he's just one of those unique players with power and speed, good defensive player, good in the clubhouse.
Everything.
I mean, I don't want to lose him. But you're saying, let me ask you this. Has someone given you official offers for Trey?
We've taken the offers. We've had ideas thrown at us. We've had concepts. But he's our shortstop, and he's everything you just said he was. He's one of the greatest trades I ever made, and he turned out to be one of the great superstars in all of baseball, and we're proud to have him here. And he's awesome in the community. He's terrific in the clubhouse. He's a well liked player by the front office and the staff, and the management loves him. And again, he's one of the most impactful players in the game. So you want to trade for Trey Turner, you got to come and get him because he makes your team when you trade for him. So it's got to be a deal that we can't walk away from, we can't refuse. I think Trey understands that. He knows the game as well as anybody I've ever been around, and he knows my affection for him and my affinity for his game and for him and his wife and new baby to be a Washington National. And if something were to happen where we got an offer that we couldn't refuse, he would understand it and it would be the best thing for the organization. But with that said, I told you the parameters that would have to happen for us to do that deal.
Right. Let me ask you this. Now, I don't know what to believe and what not to believe, but Peter Gammons is pretty plugged in. When he tweets out that the learners, your bosses, are not willing to give Trey the long-term deal that he probably would get. I don't know if it'd be on the Tatis level, but is that accurate or inaccurate?
We've been in conversation with Trey on extensions for the last couple of spring training, so it would be inaccurate.
Okay.
What do you say, Mike, to people that because of like the Gammons report? And because of some things that have happened in the past, there are parameters that you can't have everybody, that there are some people that are afraid that we're not going to be able to keep our superstars. What do you say to that?
What I say to it is we've had more superstars here than any team in baseball. They're here. We draft them, we sign them, we develop them. Some we extend, some we don't. It's all about how do you allocate your roster, how you allocate your revenues and what's your payroll going to look like. And, we do as good a job as anybody, to have superstars in this city. You can rattle off the names of superstars that we've had here for 5, 6, 7 years. And, we've had as many as anybody. So.
Talking to Mike Rizzo, President and General Manager of the Washington Nationals. He's brought to you by FH Fur, FH Fur Plumbing, Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical, the official plumbing partner of the Washington Nationals. Absolutely the best. So a couple days here until the trade deadline, and a lot of people talking about Max Scherzer. I know you can't get super specific on anything, but have some teams called you with just laughable deals, and what do you do when that happens?
No, I think the respect for Max Scherzer out there is immense. They know what they have, and they know what they're calling about. I think that every GM that calls about Max Scherzer is respectful of what he is and what he can bring to that team at the trade deadline.
So, and again, I don't know if this is true or not, but what we're hearing is that Max would prefer a West Coast team if he is traded. And if that's accurate, does that make you listen to those West Coast team offers more closely to benefit him?
Well, Max has earned a right to have some control over his destiny. You know, when you get 10 years in the big leagues and 5 years with the same team, you've earned that right. It's something that is in the CBA. It's something that is, earned as a, you have to be a really good big league player to get that right. And he's earned it. So, Max and I have probably the closest, most unique relationship I've ever had with a player. I've known him since 2005. We drafted him in 2006 with Arizona. I've seen him, his progression into becoming a Hall of Famer. So we have great dialogue, on a daily basis almost. With different subjects, baseball and alike. So we have talked quite a bit over the past couple of weeks about the possibility of being traded at the deadline, and he gets it, he understands it, and we want to make sure that we do what's right for Max and what's right for the organization.
Talking to Mike Rizzo, GM of the Washington Nationals. So let's get to Steven Strasburg. Where is the average fans that don't know what thoracic means and all these things, where is he? What does this mean for his future?
Well, he's going to have the thoracic outlet surgery. It's not a common surgery for baseball players and pitchers, but it's been performed before. Will Harris just had it earlier this season. Dr. Pearl in Dallas is one of the experts in that type of surgery. He's going to perform it in Dallas today for Strauss. He should be able to pitch and a normal rehabilitation for this injury is pick up a baseball, you could begin throwing program in 3 months, and it's a 5 to 6 month kind of rehab to return to pitch. So that's what we're hoping for. We're hoping that he comes to spring training in preparation for preparing for the season. And this alleviates this problem. I think it's always a sigh of relief when you figure out what's wrong with a pitcher who's had this nagging issue, for a couple of years. And I think that Strauss is relieved. I know it's to me it's bad news that he's going to miss 6 months. But if we can get this thing ironed out, we know what it is. If we fix it with the surgery and he rehabs it. We think that he's got some good days ahead of him.
Can you give us examples, Mike? You say it's a rare injury for pitchers. Doesn't happen that often. Can you give us instances of guys that have come back from this TOS surgery and they've been excellent?
I remember we rehabbed Chris Young when Chris Young was here at the end of his career. He had the surgery and returned to pitch. He's the only one that I have any experience with. There's been a handful of other guys who have had the surgery and returned to pitch. It's not a long list. It's not a common injury for a baseball player. It's not a common surgery. So, it's something that we're going to have to monitor closely. And he'll be in the best care and the best hands and the best medical staff in baseball. So we're confident that that will get him to a point where he'll be ready to prepare himself for spring training next year and prepare himself for the season.
I think I know what your answer will be to this, but I just want to ask anyway, can you be Sellers, Mike, and still put together a super competitive roster next year? Like, that seems to be a delicate balancing act, right?
Well, not really. I mean, you know, when you're selling, we're going to, you know, we're certainly going to be Sellers on open-minded about all players that have a contract that ends this season. So, you know, we won't have those players with us next season anyways, unless you re-sign them, which is always a possibility. But, you know, you look at the core group that we have right now that would be returning next year. You know, you've got Josh Bell at first, who's having a terrific after a poor month that started crazily with the COVID. He missed, we had those 11 players that missed the first 10 or 12 days of the season, and then it took them about 3 weeks to get going. He's been rolling after that. He's been terrific for us. You got Trey Turner, you got Victor Robles Soto, you got our young players, Keyboom, I know you guys, everyone's down on Keyboom, but he's a 23-year-old player that's still well-liked in the industry. And you got a 21-year-old, Luis Garcia, that's hitting .300 with 12 home runs in AAA and younger than probably 80% of the players that were drafted in this year's Major League Baseball draft. So, that's a good core group of position players. You've got a rehabbing comeback situation with Strauss. I've seen Corbin, whose velocity is back up to 94-95 in the last handful of starts, hoping he gets back on track. And then you got Ross, Fetty, and then the young guns that we're going to have to count on in the near future, and the Cavellis and Henrys and Rutledges and Cates and the Seth Romeros and that group of starters. And you sprinkle that good core group of our own players in. And then you go out to the trade and free agent market, and we're here to compete. We're here to win championships. That's what our goal will be next year, and we will attack that when the time comes. Right now is trade deadline time. We're locked and loaded to help the franchise, and it's going to be an exciting couple of days.
All right, so. Yes or no? You don't have to tell me the names of the players. I know you wouldn't. Yes or no? You're really close to at least one trade right now.
I would say that we are not close to any trade right now.
Oh, okay.
But we have a lot of time before that.
Okay.
This is a deadline business. This trade deadline thing is all about the deadline and player and these smart GMs. Often don't give their best bullet until later on in the process.
Oh, I can only imagine how much you're on the phone for the next 48 hours. But, all right, so getting back to Trey real quick. So last night I'm watching the game. He beats out the ground ball to short, gets to third on because Harper was loafing, and he scores. And then second inning, he's not out there, and Carpenter and FP don't know why. I'm thinking, oh, they just traded him. Obviously, great. I'm glad it wasn't that. But he passes or doesn't pass the COVID test, so he's out.
How's your daughters?
Yes, my daughters love Trey Bay. And so when did you find out? Exactly when did you find out that he tested positive and had to be pulled?
Minutes before we pulled him, because that's when the test results came back. Wow. Literally came back right after the start of the game. He popped positive, and obviously there's protocols in place where you have to remove him immediately. You put him in isolation and that type of thing. You run the contact tracing to see if there's anybody else that was exposed. Luckily that there weren't. So that was a good thing. But it was like, are you kidding me?
Right,
I mean, with the rough July we had with all the injuries on the injury front, all the other things that's happened this month to affect our roster, 48, 72 hours before the trade deadline, Trey gets he pops positive for the COVID. So it was an active evening last night, and JP, I didn't get my 8 hours tonight last night, that's for sure.
But what about all the guys who he was in the locker room with or on the team bus? I mean, I assume not. How's that
work?
It's
called contact tracing, and contact tracing. There was no one deemed in the protocols MLB that fit the prerequisites for exposed for contact tracing.
I think that has to do with, without saying it, like the vaccination status. I think
the percentage of players that are vaccinated, correct?
Something like that.
But there's prerequisites for what is a compromised contact tracing. So, you know, there's certain parameters that if you were in proximity for X amount of minutes without a mask in an enclosed vault, that's what this thing is all about. And gotcha. It's monitored all the time. So we went through that process. Unfortunately, nobody else was affected.
I know I'm asking a lot of inside questions here, but does he just stay in that hotel in Philly for the next 10 days, or does he get transported back to D.C.?
Yeah, I think he will. He has to be isolated for the next 7 to 8 days, and then there'll be, you know, obviously he'll take a million more tests, and then when he's deemed that he is not positive for COVID, we will reinstate him.
All right, thank you, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
Appreciate the time.
Appreciate the answers, honesty.
Thank you.
All right, my friend. See you guys next week.
Okay. All right, buddy. Thank you,
Mike Rizzo.
So was he saying
GM
that he does have to stay in the hotel?
He didn't really answer it.
He didn't really answer the question. No. He wasn't that honest about that.
They're just going to put a big bubble around him, and he can do whatever he wants.
So I don't know. I'm guessing they get him back to D.C. somehow.
I don't know
how they do it.
Because that would suck, because we've heard stories where guys had – Denny McCarthy, PJ Tour, failed a test and had to stay in a hotel in Connecticut for 10 days.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Maybe they've
– I don't know.
All right, got to take a break. Coming up next, we'll switch gears, open up EB's entertainment page here on The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Remember, tomorrow night, join us 7 o'clock for a Facebook Live event. You can follow us at facebook.com/thejunks. Put some behind-the-scenes videos up there now promoting what's happening on the show, which you can always check out. Stories there on the Facebook page. But tomorrow it's a Facebook Live before the NBA draft. Get you up to speed on what the Washington Wizards may or may not be doing. So jump on at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. And that's all brought to you by PenFed Credit Union. Right now, though, we open up the entertainment page brought to you by Wave Soda. Wave Soda is awesome. Super simple, just bubbly water with a splash of real juice and a little caffeine. It's unsweetened, so no stevia or artificial sweeteners. Just a clean finish with only 2 to 6 grams of sugar and 15 to 25 calories per can. Enter the code JUNKIES. You'll get 15% off at wavesoda.com.
Valdez, did you ever hear back from Logan? Curious. Is he in a meeting or something? Something.
Yes, he texted me back and he said, sorry, today was super busy, bro.
All right, see if he wants to come on tomorrow.
Maybe. I shared the picture of the drab. Like the Washington just showed him like signing his new deal.
Uh-huh.
And that was like at 8:30 or 8:45.
We were supposed to do it.
I said, oh, well, now I see why he's not coming on today.
Yeah. No, I get it. He's busy. It's hard for a guy to come on. Like at 8 o'clock, training camp started and just signed a new deal. All right, JP, I know you're a big Better Call Saul guy, or at least you have been in the past.
I feel like it's in season 5. I only watched maybe one or two seasons.
No, maybe Cakes is more into it. But Bob Odenkirk.
He's a good actor. Great actor.
Is he Saul?
Yes.
He, from Better Call Saul, is in the hospital after collapsing on set. I'm not sure what the issue is, but they say they were shooting in New Mexico yesterday when the incident happened. He was immediately surrounded by crew members. They called an ambulance. They're not sure if he was conscious when he was transported, but they say he is still in the hospital under the care of doctors. Of course, he became a household name when he played attorney Saul Goodman on Breaking Bad. And Better Call Saul is a spinoff of Breaking Bad, and it's currently shooting its 6th and final season.
Hmm. Yeah, I only watched two seasons.
I've never seen one episode of Better Call
Saul. I have. I've watched one or two. I've never seen an episode of Breaking Bad. The show that
everyone says it's one of the best. I've seen one episode. That was it.
Cakes binged it during the pandemic.
I know. Well, he's watched everything.
Bob Odenkirk, 58 years old. So they didn't say a cause? They don't know?
At least as of the time this was printed. Valdez gave me a crime podcast, Your Own Backyard, and I've been mowing through that one. If you're into podcasts, I've been doing a bit where I'm playing it before I go to sleep because it kind of calms my mind, but I got to go back because I'm sleeping during part of it. So I got to go back and listen. But I do enjoy that. If anybody is listening to that, hit me up on Twitter.
Is your own backyard fiction or nonfiction?
Oh, no, it's nonfiction. It's about the murder of, I think her name is Kristen Smart. I was thinking of that Elizabeth Smart. Remember that girl that was kidnapped and then they found her like a year later or 6 months later?
Hold on. Kristen Smart.
Yes. It was like in 1998 maybe. She went to a party.
Cal Poly State.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Did they arrest someone?
I haven't gotten to that point yet. Okay. I don't know. Don't tell me too much. But it's a pretty good podcast. I highly recommend it. All right. So I wish Cakes was here because I feel like he would know a Slipknot song. Did we play Slipknot at HFS when we were there? I feel like we did.
Probably.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you one Slipknot song.
But one of their neither could I. Did you find one for me, Valdez?
I have a whole litany of them if you want.
Give me the best one or the most recognizable.
Ooh, that's a good one. I think their most recognizable and most radio-friendly one is called Duality.
So they're I've heard that title. Their drummer and founding member, Joey Jordison, dead at the age of 46.
Wow.
This will make you lift
46 years old,
50 pounds more.
Just died yesterday?
At least they announced it. I'm not sure what he died of.
Yeah, I've heard this.
I'm sure we played this at HFS when we were there. I haven't heard it, though.
He had acute transverse myeloma.
It sounds like a cancer.
Myelitis.
They also had softer ditties.
They did? That one sounded pretty friggin' hard.
That was actually one of their softer ones. They're from Iowa. Yeah. Their lead singer is Corey Taylor. He's also in a band called Stone Sour.
Are you?
Yes, I know a lot about Slipknot.
You're a Slipknot fan?
Yes.
Was that big in the like Dina or something?
Shower bird.
Says it was a neurological disease.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Is that like the girls that you were tagging back in college? They were into Slipknot?
Oh, this is where I get psyched to listen to this kind of music when I'm lifting.
Yeah, when you put on like Spotify and you put in one band, then it leads you to other bands.
I like this better than the other one because this gets a little mellower.
I believe BDK is a huge Slipknot fan.
Is he?
Yeah, he always.
What about Cakes? He probably likes Slipknot, right?
I think he enjoys them as
well. What's weird about Cakes is I'm not sure he's ever lifted a weight in his life. So he doesn't like him for that reason.
He just bobs his head as he's driving home.
So pour some out for him. It's always a terrible story when you hear that. Joey Jordison, dead at age of 46. All right, this is a weird story about Kanye. I guess he's finishing up his album. Or I guess we're supposed to know the album's titled Donda. What does Donda mean? And I guess he's going to premiere an unfinished version of it tomorrow. But apparently, he's been living in the basement, for whatever reason, of Atlanta's Mercedes-Benz Stadium. I guess working on the album there.
Hanging out with Matt Ryan.
Before he releases, I guess, parts of the album tomorrow. And they have the pictures have gone viral of his like living quarters, and it looks like a prison. He's just in like a no-windowed basement with like a locker, looked like a coach's locker room with a TV and basically a cot, and that's it. Mm.
According to Wiki, Donda was named for West's late mother.
For his mother's name was Donda.
Oh, okay.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yep.
This dude, I mean, we went through his finances the other day. He's making so much on that Yeezy brand.
Mm-hmm.
That do they list him as a billionaire yet? If they don't, he's gonna be.
I believe he is.
Yeah. Like Kanye has ridiculous money. Like, and Kanye has go to space money.
And her name, the mother's name was Donda.
Was
West.
Donda? Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, I don't know if anybody.
Are you intrigued by it?
I don't know. He's such a weirdo. I'm not really that intrigued by him anymore. I liked his old stuff.
Yeah. Of course.
But now, you know, since the Kardashian days, like, I don't even know if I like his songs anymore. I mean, you'd have to remind me of hits he's had in the last couple of years.
Well, the problem is I don't think they're getting a lot of radio airplay.
Yeah, so I'm
like
out.
Like, when he did...
I'm out on that.
Like the gospel album. I mean, now he's wearing pantyhose around his face all the time.
I don't know what he's doing there. And God bless him, but he's got, like, his own religion. He's preaching and stuff. And, you know, do you. But I don't know that I know. I don't know that I'm on the same wavelength as Kanye.
But I do love his old music.
Yeah, the old stuff.
I go for a run.
His first album or two is awesome.
I'll hit, you know, I have, like everybody, a million different little channels. It kind of just depends. And then one of them, I'll just hear old school, like, Diddy hits and Kanye West hits.
Yeah, I've never been a Kanye guy.
It's awesome.
We did see Kanye. Was he performing at an HF festival?
He did. It wasn't a festival. It was one of those things.
Yeah.
It was an HF festival when they brought it back to the Baltimore spot.
It might have been
Merriweather.
At Merriweather.
Yeah. And I remember being...
It was
being,
like 2 years after we were at HF.
We were behind the stage, backstage.
He was wearing a sweater. And
like a Bill Cosby sweater.
He had like a string section.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was wearing like
that a... That was a cool performance. I don't remember the song, but...
Yeah.
I've never been a real big Kanye guy.
Well, who was Jamie Foxx singing that one song? What was it?
Gold Digger?
Yeah. I mean, come on.
He's a billion hits. I mean, Mercy. There's a ton.
Yeah.
If I play... I mean,
you say so.
He's got a ton. Jesus Walks.
I mean, he's...
Those are older ones, but he's...
Yeah, old stuff I think I like. Ashton Kutcher and his wife, Mila Kunis.
Hottie.
Are in the news. They did another, I guess, episode of Dax Shepard's Armchair Expert podcast. Remember we were talking about Dax? He was he's gone public about his testosterone usage as he's bulked up, gained about 20 pounds. But somehow they started talking
about... But he was going to do something and Mila convinced him not to. What was it again?
The space.
Oh, that's right. He was going to go
to
space.
Yeah, because he postponed that. But they also, I guess, in the podcast talked about bathing their children. And some people are kind of weirded out because Ashton and Mila Kunis say they don't bathe the kids very often. They certainly don't bathe them every day. And basically, if you see dirt, clean them. Otherwise, there's no point. So there might be some truth to that. I know that some doctors have said, you know, because kids, they don't really have like those pheromones or whatever, the hormones and all that stuff. to like once you reach like puberty, then you pretty much need like daily bathing and cleaning. Mm-hmm. But if you're like 3 years old, 4 years old, you're playing in the house all day, you might not necessarily need a daily bath.
Well, how
so I don't
old are
think it's
kids?
That unusual. How their kids are kids? 6 and 4.
Okay.
So I don't think it's unusual.
I think every other day is probably good for that age.
And honestly, they actually say
once you become a teenager, it's trifling if you're not taking one every day.
Well, because you got all the hormones and puberty, and you really do stink.
But, did you know anybody or have any friends growing up that didn't bathe daily?
I got to imagine the booger boy did not. We had a booger.
Yeah,
boy.
we made fun of him all the time.
We had a booger boy.
Yeah,
but Kutcher says he doesn't shower.
Yeah, I don't know.
It wasn't just their kids. He says he washes his crotch, mm-hmm. and that's it, in his armpits. And he says every once in a while he'll splash water on his face after a workout.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of weird.
Do you remember
he looks kind of dirty.
Do you remember when I was living in my...
I take a lot of hot tub showers.
When I was living in my mother's, the house I grew up in.
Right, in Lanham.
Right, and she redid this is before I was married, and she redid the bathroom. We only had one shower in the house.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And do you remember I didn't bathe for a week? Do you remember that?
I remember on the show while we were doing the show.
Yeah, we were doing the show.
In like 97 or something.
See, it was early in the show's history. And there was one full week where I did not, because there was no way to, I could have gone to a friend's house.
Did you go to the pool or anything? Or?
No, it was during the wintertime.
It was just a dirt bag.
Did you smell like butt?
Well, what do you think? I didn't bathe for a week.
Probably like the pants he's wearing right now.
There are some people.
Yeah, they smell like this.
There are some people, when I walk up the stairwell, I know they just walked in the building because they put on so much cologne.
Uh-huh.
So much cologne. There are two guys.
Two people in particular?
Mm-hmm.
I think I know one.
Yeah. Hey, Jason, I think you got an in show.
I do. I'm sorry. and I love this place. Summer is in full swing at Golfdom. You got to check out the area's largest selection of clubs and apparel, shoes, bags, more, whatever you want. Golfdom's fully stocked on summer's hot products. They got push carts, travel covers, junior sets. If you want to get your kid involved, tell them that Bish sent you, and they're going to give you 39% bump on your used club trade-in value. That's 1% for every year they've been in business. So visit Golfdom in Tysons, it's right off the Beltway, or golfdomgolf.com. Golfdom, live the game.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
So my son's back in town. Spent most of the summer up in Poughkeepsie.
He's back in town because you're going to Myrtle next week.
We're going to Myrtle like in 2 days.
Right.
And
Saturday morning, correct?
Yeah. He lifeguarded for 6 weeks. Said it was miserable. He's lifeguarded for years, but they had him set up at some terrible apartment complex. He said literally it was a four foot pool, right? 4 foot deep, right? Mm-hmm. And it's almost impossible to drown. Like, who's not taller than 10 feet? Just stand up.
Right.
Well,
did he sit in the chair?
Yeah, I think he just sat.
He probably sat poolside.
I think he sat poolside in a regular chair and just read a book. Right. Like, it was the worst job ever. So he did it for 6 weeks, whatever. Came back, and some of his buddies are back in town too. And God love them, but they went to Six Flags on Monday.
Now, these buddies that live out of town are just staying at your house?
Yeah, they're his high school buddies.
Oh, okay.
They're back in town.
Right.
One travels the world because he's like an Olympic kayaker. He actually didn't make this Olympic team, but he's in line for the next one. They only take one.
That's crazy.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, you told me about him before.
Yeah, yeah. He was real close. But and then his other buddy, they actually moved to South Carolina, but he came back. So the Three Musketeers, they're in town, went to Six Flags, took my daughter on Monday, and then they spur of the moment got so... They had so much fun that they went to King's Dominion yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So back-to-back days. And I don't know anything about Six Flags. I guess, is their Superman ride famous or something, or like well-known?
Yeah, I mean, they got some nice roller
coasters. Is that like a well-known roller coaster? Superman?
No idea.
I don't know how you rank them in the country.
No, but I mean, in terms of like around
yes,
here.
People, I believe so.
It's the first I'd ever heard of it.
Yeah.
Well, I think that ride is all over the country.
Oh, really? They have the same one?
I think so.
Yeah, so I don't do, I'm scared, I'm a big wussy.
Yeah.
I don't like heights. But they did the Superman ride like a million times and, you know, just basically like acting like 13-year-olds. And then they drove to King's Dominion yesterday and they spent all day, spur of the moment.
The Super Duper Looper, is that still there?
I think so.
That's in Hershey Park.
It is?
Super Duper Looper?
Oh, I thought that was King's Dominion.
I think JP's right.
I mean, old school is like Rebel Yell, Grizzly.
Oh, Rebel Yell is the one I was thinking of.
Yeah, I don't know what the rides are. I have no idea. But
those parks are a lot nicer. I'll be honest. I took my family, I think it was last summer or maybe two summers ago, and they've just expanded a lot. They just.
It's not like it used to be.
It's almost like a Disney World where you need more than one day. Because if you go to the water park area, there's a ton of things to do there, and then you've got.
Yeah, but see, my understanding is the word on the street from my kids who are spoiled is that Six Flags gone downhill, but pretty janky. They're not putting a lot of money into it.
I haven't been the last few years. Yeah. We used to go every year.
I would
have
no idea.
Until Dylan.
The last time I
10.
Went on a roller coaster was Hershey Park. Let's call it 5 years ago. Brought the girls.
What was the wooden one they used to have at Hershey Park? Do they still have that one? My dad went on that one 15 years ago. 16.
Don't
years.
Remember.
Yeah.
Well, we went on one that it kind of hung. So you sit in the seat and you pull the harness over you, and it hung, and the bar was above you.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't on an actual track.
Did you get scared?
Oh, butt scared.
They have those ones that are towers now.
I was scared.
Where you go up in the tower, and you'll go up, like, say, six stories high, and then it's just an immediate drop. And then it just stops.
Some people love that. I just don't.
Crazy. Your feet are just dangling.
I know they're safe. Most of those are safe, but I just don't trust them.
Yeah. The ones.
Knowing my luck, it'll fall off the
Generally
bracket.
Speaking, I will do almost anything, but the thing which has always kind of freaked me out, and I think it's at King's Dominion, might even be at Six Flags, doesn't even matter, are those ones that look like slingshots. You're like a human slingshot, and there's like a little net, but you just wonder, like, what's going to happen if you actually end up flying out of what you're not supposed to fly out of the harness. And that one kind of freaks me out.
Did you see the story of the woman? This went viral, so Lurch probably missed it. Who went bungee jumping, and they attached it to her ankles and everything, and she
slipped out?
No. They forgot to connect it to the thing. So... Oh. She was connected, but the other end wasn't connected to the top or whatever.
Right into the river.
Oh, or the concrete? I have no idea.
Dunsky.
Like a young lawyer or something.
Oh, I did not see that. I'm glad I didn't see it.
Can you imagine?
No.
I can't even fathom that.
Later today, we're going to start getting training camp leaks. Are you going to be fired up for leaks of... I heard Camp Sims looks amazing. Actually, that actually is something that I did read yesterday.
What?
There were two people that apparently stood out. But you're going to get those
receivers always
reports.
Stand out on
you're,
training
right,
camp.
You're going to get those reports.
In training camp.
Jamin Davis looks amazing. Are you going to get fired up, or is it going to be no big deal?
I'll get excited.
Because usually
we excited.
Buy into some storylines.
I get excited.
And I'm looking forward to it. Like, what if you hear Fitz didn't have a great first day?
Well, you're going to hear that.
Fantastic.
You hear it with every team.
Right. Yeah, I will get excited for the most part. But like, if you tell me, oh, Steven Sims looks amazing, well, I've seen the body of work. I kind of know who he is. So I'm not going to get that excited.
What if you hear De'Ami Brown's dropping balls left and right? Or
raise my eyebrows. I'll tell you what I'm not getting worried about is our guy Don, whatever his name is on Twitter. God bless him. He listens religiously, right?
Don, but, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think he calls himself the Black Donald Trump.
Okay,
or something.
I know who you're talking about. He's probably a
hardcore
4-hour day listener.
Yeah, so God bless him, you need him. We need more of him.
But he tweets a million.
But
things.
He wants me to get all upset because Curtis Samuels was on the pup list.
Right. I saw him.
And all reports are. I didn't even see this, but all reports were after I said, "Listen, I'm not going to get worried until they tell me to get worried."
Is that a groin? Was that a groin?
It appeared no one's worried about it. It's a precautionary thing.
I mean,
if it ends up being an issue, then I'm pissed.
Sometimes,
but I'm not going to get upset.
Worry about that in September.
About a minor injury,
not in July,
that's going to hold them back from the first couple days of camp.
I'm with you.
So, I mean,
unless he had a history of it,
he's trying to get me upset. He's trying to get me worried because he's anti-Fitz. And he's trying to lay the foundation for Fitz to have a bad year. So,
I'm not anti-Fitz. I just think that if I have to bet that he's going to have a year like he typically has, not necessarily the last 16 games,
up and down.
But out over a couple
up
of
and
years.
Down.
Exactly. All right, we got to get out of here. For Bish, EB, I'm JP. We will see you tomorrow. Be Mitch and Finley up next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.